Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Welcome to The Morning Show. Have your host, James, behind the mic, joined by our head of news, our co-host, Melissa Kay.
Good morning.
Head of production and co-host, Seth Habhager.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks for being here, everybody. Hope you all are having a good one. Hope you made it through the weekend all right.
Yeah.
We are going to give you a good start to the week. We got the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club right around the corner. We're going to get into that a little bit afterwards. We got a new term. We got to get into clock botching.
Clock botching.
Clock botching. Thought it was clock bocce at first.
Oh, see, now bocce would be
not,
fun.
It's not what I thought. Yeah. It's not at all what I thought it was. And a little bit after that, we will get into dictionary.com, adding a ton of new words. So we have a new phrase and some new words to get to before the end of the hour.
Very cool.
All that coming up. We'll also get into fun in the 10 o'clock hour because it's a Monday. You know what that means. We'll be joined by Beth in the Kitchens Open.
Indeed.
Mm. Big shout out to our friends at the Hotel Mead for that. We appreciate them. We'll also have some entertainment news for you. We'll dive into including our National Day of calendar. Got to talk about that a little bit. All those things coming up. And before we end the hour, 6 medieval health tips that sound like TikTok hacks.
Oh, no. Boy.
Oh, no. This could be bad. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yikes. Could be very interesting. Along with all that, of course, we'll get to our schedule, good stories of the day, and of course, touch on some local events that we have going on. I wanted to start somewhere. But I have to pull an audible.
Oh, all right.
I have to pull an audible. Something that came up over the weekend. Are your arms the most worthless thing when you're trying to sleep?
Where's my detachable arms? Yes.
715-424-2600. Call or text us through the Civic Media app. Let us know, are your arms the most worthless thing when you are trying to sleep? They truly are, aren't they? They just get
in the way.
They just do.
No, arms in general, very helpful. Very helpful to have, you know, good for grasping, carrying things, you know, that's what they're
reaching
there for.
Stuff.
Balancing while you're walking, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I apologize. I don't want to come across the wrong way. I'm pro arms. I really am. I believe arms are great.
But, you know, there's a downside, you know, for lots of things. Yes. And I think we found the one for arms.
Sleep.
Yeah.
Just had to throw that out there. Kind of love to hear from the audience on that one. 715-424-2600. Call or text through the Civic Media app. And it kind of ties into where we're going to begin for this week. There are two types of trips. The active vacations, where you spend as little time as possible in the hotel.
Mm.
And the relaxing ones, where you spend as many mornings sleeping in as you can.
Mm.
I think both are both necessary. Both seem necessary, you know, and I think they both are a good idea.
Right.
I thought of the arm thing when I was actually trying to fall asleep. And one of the things I was doing to try to get myself to relax was trying to think of being on a vacation somewhere.
Mm.
And then it quickly turned into just sleeping. Like, just sleep, not even sleeping in, just sleeping.
Like the entire time, right?
I'm not kidding. I didn't sleep a second last night. I didn't sleep at all. So right now, just like an hour sleeps nice to me, like, you know, let alone sleeping.
Close my eyes for a minute.
But as you're trying to lay there and your arms just keep getting in the way, and I don't know what to do with the left one. I never know what to do with the left one. So according to a new report, 47% of Americans would pay more for a vacation that helps them sleep. And 38% would be interested in a vacation that, quote, designed to improve their sleep.
Interesting. That'd be fun.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Got plenty more to get to on this article, but I think that says a lot about our work ethic and how much we're working to the point where we're looking at, you know, something like this as a vacation.
Mm-hmm.
I know I have a pretty twisted version of what a vacation is, but even I understand that, you know, taking a class on sleeping or something doesn't necessarily. But if it helps,
time off, you know. Yeah.
37% of people say that they've used paid off days in the past year just to catch up on sleep.
Oh.
And millennials.
I have.
I was curious.
Vote for Melissa.
I didn't want to put either of you on the spot, but I was curious if that was the case. Thanks for sharing that, Mel. Millennials are most likely to say that they are the ones doing this.
Okay.
So you're hip, Melissa. So you're
with the millennials, I guess.
If you're looking for a sleepy getaway, the report named Portland, Oregon, the most, quote, well-rested city. It offers strong wellness support, cleaner air, and better access to rest-friendly environments.
Ah, see, now that I can understand.
And then check this out, everybody. Make sure to spread the word on this. Madison, Wisconsin, and St. Paul, Minnesota, scored at number 2 and number 3 on the list.
Hey, really?
Nice. How about that's awesome.
That? So
that's
all cool. That fun that that Minneapolis people have been making of St. Paul these years, they're getting better sleep than you are, Minneapolis. Huh? Ah, take that.
And the city we belovedly call Madtown.
Yeah.
It's actually quite rested, good for sleeping.
Yeah, that's cool.
And the one that threw me off the most was Philadelphia, ranked as the sleepiest city. Like, what?
Oh,
Philly. Philly. Maybe you're exhausted.
Maybe all that brotherly love makes you so tired.
Laredo, Texas, and New Jersey City, New Jersey, also scored poorly. I'm sorry. Had that on the opposite side. Philly is the sleepiest city. They need sleep the most.
Right. They need the most sleep, right?
I apologize. Yep. Okay. That makes a lot more sense.
Well, Jersey City is okay. So that one, Laredo?
Yeah, Laredo. That's weird.
Really? Too many cows? Are the cows really noisy there? All the cattle there?
I guess they are too busy singing the new Lainey Wilson song. They're singing that song over
24/7.
Yep. 24/7. She mentioned that song. I haven't heard somebody sing the word Laredo before. She does it really well. Mm. She does it really. The report focused on local lifestyles and visitor amenities. I don't even know how I just pronounced
you did that.
Amenities.
You just float off the tongue.
I'm getting credit for being able to do my job. You can read. They looked at the average sleep per night, availability of wellness practitioners, environmental factors, access to green space, and work-life balance.
Okay.
All great categories.
Those are all good things.
Of course, not everyone can afford to go to sleep retreats. Mm. People who are earning six figures are 26% more likely to use PTO days to catch up on sleep than those who make less than $100K.
Because they can afford it.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, we did a story this morning on the Sunrise Show on 105.5 where we were talking about Ella Langley taking some time off.
Yes.
And so much needed. I'm very happy for her. She's back at it now and everything. But it does make me think when I hear things like that, the people that can, and there's so many people out there that could use to do that that they can't afford to.
That's right. Exactly. Can't stop.
But sleep travel could be an emerging trend. People have been Googling getaways like wellness travel, sleep resort, and quiet vacation.
Quiet vacation. That sounds good.
In fact, quiet vacation is one of the most searched terms when it comes to searching for vacations that we have seen in the last 10 to 5 years.
That's really
so
cool.
This has been going on for a while, too. Mm-hmm. Including sleep-related experiences like sound therapy, sleep coaches, sleep tracking, aromatherapy, sleeping outdoors, and digital detoxes.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Now I figure out what that meant. Okay. Makes sense.
Yeah. Which one of these
coach
sounds most interesting to all of you out there? Or and to you too, of course. Do any of those sound interesting? Dead
sound?
Do, yeah.
The sound one sounded interesting.
Okay.
Because I'm a sound guy, and I think that'd be really interesting to follow up on, actually. Yeah.
But would you be able to sleep or rest? You'd be so focused on the sound part.
I think I would. If you find the right thing for me, for anyone, I think, honestly, it helps. You know, it doesn't guarantee anything. But I think if you find the thing that helps relax you sound-wise, I think it helps a lot.
Well, and there's a lot of, for a lot of us, we have, I'll just speak for myself. My brain doesn't, like, shut down. It just keeps going all the time. There's always something playing in there. It's a song. It's a line from a movie. There's something on repeat and loop all the time. So to get that to be quiet, I usually do some kind of sound therapy as I go to sleep at night. Usually it's my audiobook.
It's one
that I've listened to over and over and over. What I would like to try is float therapy.
Ooh. Okay.
So it's like a sensory deprivation therapy. It's just a shallow tank, and you lay in this dark and silent environment, and you just relax. That sounds awesome.
It kind of does.
They made a movie, Altered States, about that, didn't they? Back in the 80s? Yeah, forget it. No way. Bad, things were bad in that movie.
I'm thinking of the Precox.
Okay, well, don't watch the movie. Way to ruin it for me, Seth. Nice
sorry,
job.
Sorry. That's just what I do, I guess.
I think it sounds amazing, Melissa. And I not only myself, but I imagine there's a number of people out there that can relate to what you were talking about before that, about not being able to shut your brain off. Mm. And there are ways, you know, I can flip a switch and make it as dark as I want in the room. I got the knockout curtains. I can't knock my brain out. CC what I said earlier about not sleeping last night. I mean, it's one of those things.
Maybe you literally need to do it just to get the hammer blow to the head.
Oh, I've been trying to get Acme on the phone forever.
Those big clown hammers,
yeah,
you know?
They seem to have, I mean, I've been watching Looney Tune cartoons my whole life, and they seem to have a huge warehouse of these things, yet nobody will answer my phone calls. Sleeping outdoors. I think that's one that I would really like to try. I am right with Melissa on what she was talking about. Mm-hmm. I've heard a couple of different versions of what you're referring to, Melissa, but those all sound interesting to me. But the sleeping outdoors thing, I've never really done it. Maybe I have, and I just don't remember. Like, I know I did. I've slept overnight, but I haven't done like the whole actual camping thing. I slept outdoors because it was a very, 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 very long night. right. And we'll just leave it at that. That's the only reason. I didn't plan on that.
Yeah.
That wasn't that kind of thing. I wonder if sleeping outdoors would be a lot more peaceful than I've ever thought of.
Try listening to a forest sounds background,
an outdoor kind
just
of thing,
like ambient, you know, noises. It's not music. It's just sounds.
Yep.
Well, I'll tell you one thing: you definitely don't want to do. You want to listen to us if you're trying to fall asleep. We're going to wake you up. We're going to wake you up. We're here you up, keep you going, and get you moving. We appreciate you guys joining us on another work week here. We're going to have some fun with the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club right around the corner on the morning show at WFHR. You heard them. Time to do some celebrating with our great friends over at El Cafe and the Birthday and Anniversary Club. We encourage you to treat yourself tomorrow when they open their doors at 221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards. Hoping they had a great weekend and all well rested over at El Cafe and ready to get back at it. Mm-hmm. They got a great menu lined up for you. Find out more about it at elcafewi.com, elcafewi.com, and be sure to look them up on Facebook. One of the reasons we always encourage you to is some of the fun posts they do.
Yeah.
They do social media right over there. They're great at it.
They do a fine job of it, yes.
They also do a great job covering events and looking out for the community and doing things with the community. And they've got a great fundraiser event coming up this Friday.
Oh my gosh, they do, yes.
El Cafe will be hosting a fish fry fundraiser event to raise funds for the Port Edwards Elementary School.
Encourage
you to get on over there, get a fish fry, and know
very
that
good fish fry, by the way.
It's excellent. Getting more and more famous every Friday.
Yes, it is.
And not only is that going to taste so good, and I know a lot of Wisconsinites love trying new fish fries, so if you haven't tried it, there you go.
That's right.
But it's going to taste extra good when you know that you're adding to a good cause.
That's right. Very cool. Mm-hmm.
And if you're not into fish, they have a full regular menu as well, and their Mexican menus all day.
I mean, it's so hard to choose sometimes. Yeah.
You're gonna have to go back.
Multiple times.
Make a bookmark in your head, like, okay, I'm gonna try that next time.
Yeah,
then you make plans to get on over there. And a big thank you to them, and of course, thank you to all of you celebrating with us and getting us your birthdays and anniversaries. You can do that by emailing us info@wfhr.com, direct message us on our Facebook pages, and you can call on up.
That number is 715-424-2600, or you can use the Civic Media app, and you don't have to remember anything.
That's
there
right.
There you go. That's a good note.
How your fingers work. That's all you need, right?
Very good note. I'm writing that down. I like the idea of not having to remember anything. Okay. Get us those birthdays and anniversaries, everybody. Like our list today, I need a one or a two, Seth.
One.
All right. Gives us our qualifier. We can get right into it. First up, we want to wish happy birthday to Chuck Gibbons.
Happy birthday, Chuck.
Ooh, and, stereo.
That's good. Enjoy your day, sir. Hope it's a great one for you. We're fans of that name around here. We wish you a very good birthday. Enjoy. And we wish a very happy birthday to our qualifier, Janet Gaber.
Happy birthday, Janet.
Enjoy the day, Janet. I hope it's a good one for you. You guys were a little off on that one. I'm joking. I'm just kidding.
It's true. I mean, we were, but.
Janet, enjoy your day. Hope it's a great one. Mm-hmm. And thank you so much to getting us your birthdays and anniversaries.
Thank you
out there. Mm-hmm. We really do appreciate it. I can't remember the last time we had a shutout where we didn't have a birthday.
It's been a couple years, I think.
It's been
that's awesome.
It's been a while.
Really something. Yep. Thanks so much, you guys. And let's take a look at our celebrity list, who you share your birthdays with. Gaten Matarazzo is 23. Dustin on Stranger Things. I believe the kid with the curly hair and he's a good young actor.
What a name, though.
Yeah,
that's an awesome name. Oh man,
Good one. Yeah, it's a great name. Wiz Khalifa is 38, rapper best known for Black and Yellow, the Furious 7 song See You Again, a couple of others. Jonathan Taylor Thomas is 44.
Wow.
Randy Taylor in Home Improvement.
Yeah. Wasn't he the one that kind of left show business?
Yes.
If I remember correctly, he's doing something else right now. So
yeah, he had he got his fill.
As a young actor, that's right. Yeah.
One of the better singer-songwriters of the last, I'd say, 20-some years, if not long, oh, certainly longer than that. Mm-hmm. Pink is 46.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Just as impressive right now, if you Google her, Pink, or in any of her performances, you will see her pushing boundaries as far as like what an artist does. She's got this gymnast stuff she does on like a circle thing way up in the stadium and
really?
Everything. Like, she's been doing it for years.
Yeah, it's Cirque du Soleil type stuff.
Yeah. It's just incredible stuff. Wow. While also singing at perfect pitch and all that.
She's an amazing performer. She is
a powerhouse.
She is.
She's the real deal. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying all this repeating what my sister has told me many, many times. I know her, and I think she have a lot of respect for her, but Jill's the big fan.
Gotcha. It's interesting that she came up with like Christina and Britney, but she took a completely different her path just totally diverged from them, and it's been really interesting to follow.
It's crazy to see that, not to say that these other artists aren't still doing work or doing things or still relevant, but to see that she's kind of still there and she's still putting out new music and still touring
exploring and stuff.
Yeah. She's good. I like her. Let's see here. Kennedy is 53. Rolling Stone, she was a DJ for MTV for a long time.
Oh, that's right.
I remember her. Yeah.
Yes. That name sounded familiar.
Yeah. Martin Freeman is 54. Incredible actor. Many know him, of course, as Bilbo Baggins in the Hobbit movies. Mm-hmm. Dr., of course, Watson in Sherlock's BBC series. Maybe the greatest Watson I've ever seen. The debate over Sherlock is up there. There's plenty.
That'll always be an argument, yeah.
I don't know if I've seen a better Watson. Jude Law was fantastic. He was wonderful in that role. Martin Freeman took it to a different level, man. Martin Freeman is something. And, of course, the original Jim on the British version of The Office. Everett Ross in MCU. This man's fingerprints are all over. He's in the Fargo series.
Yeah, he's great. Is he good with accents, too. He can do just about any accent really well. And he's one of those like all-around versatile actors. He can do comedy, he can do drama, he can do it all. He's really cool.
Just incredible.
And he's hilarious in real life. He's a very, very funny
He's one of the good guys, man. Yep. He really is. He's one of those good ones. Let's see here. Amy Mann is 65, lead singer of Till Tuesday and Voices Carry.
Fantastic career, though. Her solo career has been amazing.
I don't care what anybody says. Voices Carry still holds up. And 30, 40 years from now, Voices Carry will still hold up.
She's awesome, yeah.
And another 80s, David Steele is 65. Fine Young Cannibals and English Beat lead singer and songwriter.
Oh, you know it, man. And then someone else who retired from, she's kind of retired now. He doesn't really do much anymore, yeah.
My great-great-great uncle, and I just say that because he's really great, Bernie Sanders is 84 today.
How many greats is he? There's all those greats. Put them out there.
This has nothing to do with politics. I am just a gigantic fan of Mr. Bernie Sanders.
Yeah.
Whether we agree politically or not is here or there. I see him at the meetings, and I got to go say hi. I love Bernie Sanders.
America's favorite uncle. I like you saying that. I agree. Yeah. I think he's that.
And then some people no longer with us. And my goodness, what a list this is, you guys. First, Avicii, want to mention him. Would have been 36 today, gone way too soon. Wake Me Up is one of those songs we used to play a lot here when we played a lot more music at the end of our shows.
Yep.
And that was one of those ones Carl and I always like to play.
Nice.
One of the comedic genius, Peter Sellers, born in this day in 1925. The genius who brought us Inspector Clouseau and the Pink Panther movies. But I almost remember that as much as I do Dr. Strangelove as a kid. Mm-hmm. Like my papa really liked that movie, and I remember, incredible actor.
He was a part of a comedy group called the Goon Squad that had a radio show in the 1950s in the UK, And that was probably one of the most influential comedy shows for British comedy and popular culture. The Beatles were all big fans of the show. Of course, the Monty Python guys were all huge fans of the show. So it was, it's anarchic comedy, you know, kind of surreal comedy. But good stuff. Oh, it's amazing. Good stuff.
English comedy, English art wouldn't be where it is without Peter Sellers.
That's right.
And I think you could say a very similar thing about American comedy with Sid Caesar, born on this day in 1922. Old school comedian, played Coach Calhoun in Grease.
Of course.
The Caveman Artist in History of the World, Part 1. Mel Brooks' movie, name it, he might have been in it.
Right.
One of the great writers of comedy as well.
Yeah, speaking of the 50s, there was a show on basically throughout the whole decade, Saturday nights. It was required viewing. It was Your Show of Shows and then later Caesar's Hour. It was, you know, a sketch comedy show. And they had, of course, the amazing group of writers, you know, Mel Brooks and Carl Reiner and Neil Simon was, I mean, Woody Allen. They all wrote for that show. It's an amazing collection of talent.
There is no Saturday Night Live without that
show.
No.
The sketch comedy is not what it is without Your Show of Shows and Caesar's Hour. Yeah.
Also, great smile. Great smile.
Those facial expressions that Sid Caesar had, he was always good at that. Yeah.
And you cannot tell the history of music without these two artists. Jimmy Rogers, born on this day in 1897, the father of country music.
Yep. No question about it.
Blue Yodel, so many good ones from him over the years. And along with Billie Holiday, my favorite voice of all time, Patsy Cline, born on this day in 1932. The legend, Patsy Cline.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible.
Two voices, and like we said on the Sunrise Show, they had such a great influence, not just on country music, but on American music. I mean, we cannot overstate either of these two people and how much influence they had on people who came by after them. They both died, sadly, very young, which is too bad.
When I had a student ask me a long time ago why Patsy Cline, why I liked her voice so much and everything, it's very similar, like Billie Holiday. It's that versatility that's really impressive to me with a singer that can do so many different things and go so many different levels and all that. But it's when I hear them sing, I don't know if they wrote those words or not, but I feel like they did.
You believe it.
I believe they did.
They own it. They totally total conviction, yeah.
And not just that, no matter if I've heard Crazy or Walking After Midnight a billion times, and there are a few songs I may have listened to more in my life because I heard them so young. Mm-hmm. Every time I hear them, they hit me. Every time I hear them, I feel like it's the first time almost, or it's the first time they've come across. They're singing like these words are just coming to them. Mm-hmm. Like it's just in the moment, even though I know I've heard the song plenty of times, or I know so-and-so wrote the song, or Willie Nelson wrote Crazy or anything like that. It feels like it's her song.
Right.
That's right. There's something about that to me that I don't hear from other artists a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, and there is plenty of artists that do that. I'm saying just for me that hit me like that. I don't know. We love celebrating your birthdays and anniversaries. Get more of them to us, everybody.
Yeah.
We would love to be able to celebrate more with you. You can email us info@wfhr.com, of course, direct messages on our Facebook pages. And as Melissa told you earlier, you can call on up through the Civic Media app. We want to hear from you, everybody. We'll take a quick time out. We'll come back, and we're talking about this new term, clock botching.
Clock botching. It's coming up. Not easy to say either.
No, I'm trying to be very careful with that one.
Blah.
Coming up on the, on the morning show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Locally grown radio. Melissa, Seth, and James hanging out with you. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. We got some fun things lined up for you before we get to the end of the hour. We're going to talk about some new words added to the dictionary. But before we get to the words, we got to get to a new term added to our lexicon.
All right.
Have you heard the term clock botching?
No.
No. It's the first time. First I've heard of it.
A writer in the UK coined it last month, and it means one of two things, or maybe both. Forbes described it as, quote, look busy, but aren't actually producing meaningful results, and or, quote, stretching small tasks into entire afternoons.
That's called lollygagging.
Yeah.
Yeah, that already had a name.
We already had a perfectly good term for this.
Gold bricking. Yes. It's got a lot of different word terms, actually.
Lollygagging is not used nearly enough.
That's a great term.
I don't know why we had to invent a new one when we had a perfectly good term right there. That makes it sound intentional, like you're just trying to run out the clock each day and not get much done.
Okay.
So then you don't get assigned more work. But we've already got terms for that, like task masking or Foductivity.
Which is actually pretty good. I like that.
I haven't heard him though.
You're right. Me neither.
I still like lollygagging.
Lollygagging's better. Yeah.
The original definition is different. The writer who coined clock botching, man, they're going to make me get in trouble. The FCC is just like sitting right there, just
with
like
the button, finger on the button,
waiting for me to. They said it's, quote, when workers end up doing more hours than they're paid for, not out of ambition, but because they can't get through their workload in time.
Oh. Well, that's the opposite.
Yeah.
And none of these definitions, botch is not what I associate with any of these things.
Right. No. That's when you mess something up.
Yeah, when you mess something up, when you make a mistake. So when you first said that, James, before we even started this, clock botching sounded like you mistimed something, right? Mm-hmm. You say, you know, like you thought you had an appointment at 1:30. It's at 1. And then you find, oh, no, I got to go run. And, you know, you go crazy trying to get there in time kind of thing. And to me, that's what it would make sense. Clock botching. You botch the clock. Mm-hmm. But I don't know.
Or you record the inappropriate hours that you worked. You know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, something like that. Yeah,
that's right. I didn't come in till 7:30, but, man, I clocked in at 6.
Right. Exactly. Right. Yeah. See, that would work, too. Better than the definitions we're getting here.
She also says clock botchers are usually, quote, the first ones in the office and the last ones to leave, so that makes it sound not intentional. There's just too much on their plate, and they're not very well organized. A writer for Inc.com confused things even more by saying it's an aggressive form of clock watching when you're counting the minutes before you even leave work. So nobody knows what it means, but apparently it's a popular term.
And still, none of those have anything to do with the word botch. I don't know. No. Do they not know what that word means? Is that what it is? I don't know.
Well, words don't mean anything anymore.
I guess they really don't. Yeah. Well, the word fact does not mean what it used to.
Forget it.
Breaking news doesn't mean what it used to. That's in two words, but still. Maybe it's all of the above, but whatever it means, they're all agreed it's a serious problem in 2025 caused by burnout and people feeling less engaged overall.
We need a new word. We need to come up with something better than this, though. We need a new term for that.
Well, and you know, we could get ahead of all of this by fixing our work-life balance, and then we wouldn't need these terms as much.
Exactly.
And
everything.
We cut the middleman off here.
Things are nice. How about that?
But as it is, and we are in the world we're in, I still want to come up with a term for our arms being useless when we try to sleep at night. I'm not worried about this. We've already got terms for this.
So is it maybe I got to ask this question now, since you brought it back around, James, and we got a little time, I guess, to work on this. Do you sleep better if your arms are above your head?
Oh, wow.
No, when you fall asleep.
What's that?
Huh?
No, then your arms fall asleep.
Well, that's the.
I'll be honest. I don't think I've tried that one.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, I think Melissa's right for me too with that, but I don't know.
So here we go. I have two pillows. Okay, I sleep on two pillows. And depending on, you know, the opposite side arm that I'm side that I'm lying on. So say I'm lying on my right side, then my left arm goes up in between the two pillows.
And if
it's I'm on my left side, it's the opposite. It's always the opposite arm. Mm-hmm. But it's always up above my head. Mm-hmm. You know, at least my hand is not the whole arm, but, you know, my hand is up above my head.
If once you get your elbow above your head, that's when you start to lose feeling and you wake up with pins and needles, which is rather painful.
Yeah. So, and that does happen occasionally, but usually not. I usually don't have that problem because I probably move, when you sleep, but yeah.
They do have those special pillows now that have like the armhole.
Yeah.
Have you seen those?
Yeah. I had not seen those.
Yeah. It's like, so like if you're sleeping with a partner where you can put your arm like around them through the pillow. It's weird.
No, I mean, like full body suits to go to sleep now.
Whether it's that or it's what Seth is suggesting, everything's on the table for me. I'll try. If you told me, James, you know, they're saying
the great sleep experiment.
You have a 10% better chance of sleeping if you sleep with mashed potatoes. Like, I'm going to give it a try. I will try it.
If you hang your arms off the end of the bed, you'll sleep better.
Writing this down, hang arms. Just
detachable arms. That's what we need.
But see, here's the thing that arms are useful for in bed is when you need to move. And as we get older, you can't just, you know, like your back doesn't automate, at least. Or maybe this is just because I'm sleeping on a mattress. I saw it in half with a bread knife. I don't know. But it's possible that, and actually my chiropractor told me it's very important that you don't use your head and your neck to move yourself in bed because that can mess with your alignment. You should always use your arms, your legs or your back, but never, never your head.
Hmm. That's a good note. I don't think I knew that. Oh, that's a good note. I did try something a little while ago, and I remember being told this a long time ago, and I just recently started to try to do it again, putting a pillow between my knees.
I always sleep like that.
That helps a lot. Is anybody out, like, I don't know, maybe because I didn't grow up doing this or something, but I'm trying, and it does help a little bit. I don't know if it helps me sleep, but it does help my back at night. Okay. I will say that.
Well, that's fair.
But it also feels a little awkward. Like, I just, I don't know. I haven't gotten...
You just have to get the right pillow, James.
That's exactly. I think I know what it is. And I need my pillow, this pillow and I to know each other a little better.
Yeah, well, like,
Take it to dinner.
I'm telling you, James needs a full body pillow, you know. That's what he needs, you know.
Yes, because
you guys... anime character on it, up to you, you know.
It does help. I use my stuffed animals. Put my arms on.
Yeah, I think that helps. Actually, getting your arms out of the way actually just helps. You know, if you've got something to prop them on. Yeah, exactly.
Because if it's just laying against your side or onto the end of your bed, then you know it falls asleep and it's not comfortable.
All options on the table.
On the table or the bed, as it were.
We want to hear. We want to hear from you out there, everybody. Do you think that these terms, clock botching or task masking or productivity?
I like
lollygagging. Which word should we use? I think I'm voting for lollygag.
This is where I'm going to talk to John Scott when we get done here. I have to ask him, how do we put quizzes up on the website?
Yes.
or polls, not quizzes, polls. I want people to vote on this one. Send them over to the website. Yes. I'm going to find out how to do that. I'm going to do it.
Productivity makes me want to make soup.
with fake duck, faux duck, Timothy?
No,
fa. Yeah, I got it. I got it, Mel. I got it. I'm so proud. Look at how sad I am. I get so happy I got that right.
Yeah. Wow.
It's Monday.
It really is a Monday, which also reminds us that maybe that's something Beth will bring up in the Kitchen's Open someday.
Hey, maybe she will.
Be doing that at the top of the 10 o'clock. We'll come back with some more fun in a moment, everybody. But I do want to take a second to thank our listeners. You hear me say all the time, best listeners in radio. Maybe sounds it a little like a line in a song or something, but I mean it and I believe it with all my heart. And you guys prove it all the time. Mm. Last week, Diane brought off some amazing cookies and we appreciated those. She's done that for years and we appreciate that. And for years, we've worked with a lot of our nonprofits, in particular, the Historic Point Boss.
Mm-hmm.
And they sent us, Laura and I, a really nice note about their time on the Rapids Report with us recently.
Oh, excellent.
And it's in pen. It's handwritten. Is it in just something that they just sent over or something? Mm-hmm. It's a very thoughtful, sweet thing. We really do appreciate this stuff. We're not saying you have to do anything like that. Every guest we have is very appreciative and cool. But that kind of thing is above and beyond. We really appreciate that to our friends over at the Historic Point Boss.
Yeah, let it be known that we do appreciate every time we get something like that. Yes.
Oh, absolutely. They hang on our corkboard in the hallway. You can come and see them.
Yes, our wall of thanks.
Wall of thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Be sure to check that out, everybody, and be sure to check out more about the Historic Point Boss at historicpointboss.com. Be sure to head on over there every month, every year, throughout the year. They've got events going on over there.
They do, and in fact, we had one stop by the Grand Affair yesterday, and he did give us a nice lowdown about the Harvest Fest on Saturday, they did have a very good turnout, so I'm glad to hear that, but yep.
Mm-hmm.
When we get back, we're talking about some of the words added to dictionary.com. We'll get into those when we come back on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and Seth and James hanging out with you. Hope you're having a good one out there. Happy Monday to everybody out there. We have an interesting one. Have you heard of memory investing yet? Memory investing. All these terms this morning.
Like sci-fi movie, maybe.
We are improving everyone's vocabulary today.
Memory investing sounds like a B horror movie in like the late 80s. Like it does. It does.
Memory investing.
After you said that, Melissa, immediately I could see the cover of the VHS tape. I could see... You know, it started Jean-Claude Van Damme. It definitely started Jean-Claude Van Damme. It definitely did. It's the trendy new term for an old idea. Instead of spending money on stuff, you'd rather invest in experiences that create long-lasting memories you'll look back on later. We've talked actually about this, just not that terminology.
Right, yes. Actually, quite a bit we've talked about that,
Actually, this weekend, talked quite a bit about it with my brother and his wife, Kim, about this and their generation and how much they are literally putting into this. And like, okay, this is, you know, we aren't taking anything from this experience but memories, and that's we got our money's worth.
Yeah, it's an investment.
It's that type of term we don't probably need. It's just a new way of describing something that's become more common. Speaking of terms we might not need, the folks at Dictionary.com announced that they have added more than 1,200 new words and terms so far this year.
Wow.
We're going to go through each one. No, we're not. They highlight.
Hunker down, everybody.
Word number 1,444. They highlighted a couple we're going to look into here. So there is coffee badging. Being at work, just quote, just long enough to have coffee or swipe your badge to clock in. Then you split your work from home the rest of the day.
Coffee badging. It's almost a hyphenated word, maybe a slash in the middle of that one. I know there's not, but it should be.
Not to be confused here in Wisconsin with coffee badgering, where it is just basically just
badger people with coffee.
Just if you're a Wisconsin coffee, badger, great coffee. You're having coffee.
Yeah, there you go.
That's a horrible joke. Here's another PSA for getting sleep. I would not have made that joke. I would have had the brain power to realize, okay, just shut up, James. You don't have to say that joke. Congestion pricing.
Okay.
New York did this year. Quote: reducing excessive traffic by charging motorists a fee to drive a private vehicle into a city center.
Okay. I remember hearing about that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if they implemented it or not. Apparently, they did.
I did not hear if they implemented. Yeah. But I guess they did. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm curious how that's working.
Sane wash.
Oh dear!
That I have heard quite a bit.
Oh boy!
Yes. Oh, I have not heard this one.
Really?
It's grim, whatever it is.
Yeah.
To quote, to misrepresent something as sensible or acceptable, even though it's crazy or extreme.
Mainstream media has been doing some of this, from what I've heard.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, been doing it for a long time.
Yeah.
Actually, if you look into it. Yeah. Unfortunately,
it is. Yeah. Both-eyedism.
Boy, they made that one hard to say.
The practice or habit of representing opposing arguments as equally strong or invalid. There's always that person who just, you know, sees both sides. I tend to be like this quite a bit.
Right.
So
I think that's the positive side of it. There's a negative side of that too, but I'm with you on that one. Being able to be, you know, someone else's shoes. Kind of thing, you know, being able to take the other view and see, try to figure out why, understand why, you know, a different viewpoint is being offered.
Yeah, but sometimes you cannot compare apples to bearing balls.
That is the negative side. You are absolutely right, Melissa. Yes.
There's the empathy part of things. There's the looking at both sides of things, and then there's the whole kind of part of it where you're just unable to make a decision, or you need to make a call, or you know, to what you guys are saying, sometimes things are not comparable. Other side.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Exactly.
I think there are extreme examples.
Yeah.
Most of us are popping in our heads right now. And kiss cam.
I think we all know where that came from.
Yeah. I just wanted to look at what their definition of it is. Quote, okay. A popular feature at stadium events in which two spectators, presumed to be a couple, presumed, are shown on a large screen and encouraged to kiss from the audience's entertainment.
They've been doing this at sporting events
for
decades. Yeah. And now they're just putting it in there? Wow.
Do you think that they ever did this in the old Coliseum days? Like, you know, where they're waiting for the two, you know, you gotta kill time here. Yeah, well, literally. You're cleaning the rink or whatever you want to call it. You gotta do something.
You gotta clean up all the blood from the lions or whatever.
Did they have the chicken races and stuff and the sausage races back then? What did they do to pass the time?
I love the idea. Except it didn't work. And over there, the kiss cam. We can't see him, but you know.
And I want to hear your guys' takes on these, of course. But if I can go back to both sideism for a second, can it be a new term added to our lexicon if we have a hard time saying it? Like, shouldn't all these words, if we're going to add new words, shouldn't we at least make them a little bit easier to say? We're bringing them in. Like, there are some words that are out there that have been around forever, and we can't do anything about it. They were here long before us.
So James, maybe we should challenge Americans to, you know, be able to learn how to pronounce really difficult words. I mean, we could look at both sides of this issue.
I like what you did there on so many levels.
Goodness.
You're good. Good.
Anyway.
What is now, as far as terms out there, we want to hear from the audience on this one as well. If there are terms you think should be added, or if you came across any of those 100,000, you know, 112,000 words or whatever. Looks like the as far as other terms, now they did borrow these from a lot of different other places too.
Makes sense.
But there are a couple of them that I think are kind of interesting. Super yacht should not be involved in this.
Yeah.
I don't think that is one that, how about also words that we're all going to be able to have a chance to say at some point?
Yeah, right.
What about furoshiki? Furoshiki, traditional Japanese rectangular cloth, primarily used for wrapping and carrying items.
Okay.
But that has been added to the...
To the American one, English, I should say. Mm-hmm. Well, I suppose American, yeah.
So it's become that kind of popular, where it's right. been added to
That's
ours.
Cool. That's cool.
It's an interesting one. Ultra wide has been added as
ultra
well.
Ultra wide?
Ultra wide has been added. I think we know what that means. Oh. Super intelligence has been added. Okay. There's another one that has been added.
That one should have been. Really? Just recently? That sounds like one that's been around for a while. You know, sci-fi that's been around for a while.
And voxel. Voxel. V-O-X-E-L. Voxel. It's a representation of a value on a three-dimensional regular grid. That has been added.
Yeah, math term. I like that. That's cool.
I'm bringing it up because that's a term that I know has been around a long time, that it's become more popular. I wonder why it's become more popular.
That's the curious thing, right?
Or is it just fun to say?
Maybe voxel is fun to say.
Because look, we've got to figure out a way to work with the Sheboygan Furniture Company or something. So I can say the word Sheboygan as much as humanly possible.
Sheboygan Warehouse,
and actually get away with it. Like, right now, it makes no sense for me to say it. Like, I'm shouting them out. We wish them a good morning, all of our friends in Sheboygan. But
outside of your obsession with the word Sheboygan.
Right, yes. Right. It's outside of this, yes.
we need to teach him some new city names, like Poughkeepsie or Puxatawny or something like that.
Albuquerque?
Albuquerque's good.
Albuquerque's
there you go.
So there is another one, and I encourage people to go to menofloss.com to find this complete article, both the things we're talking about today with the dictionary.com, as well as 10 slang terms kids are using in 2025.
Okay.
That sound old, though. Like, do it for the plot. As in, like, do it for the gram, do it for these things, like that. But,
do it for the plot. Okay.
Mewing.
Mewing,
which it sounds like a much older term.
From
a millennial and older person perspective, perhaps one of the most bizarre online trends among Gen Z and Gen Alpha is looks maxing, a general term for anything from facial stuff to just basically things to help take care of your facial skin.
Oh, okay.
Mewing. Mewing. That sounds like it's something that my great-grandfather would have said. It does sound like that. Do it for the plot, not as much. But what about straight fire? Now, straight fire, we know of it as a
straight fire.
That feels, I'm telling you, that's straight fire over there.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah. You say, like, I think that's from the 30s that's like, saying
it's hot.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I don't know.
But you're right. It does sound old.
I feel like that's a couple of stees, S-T-E-E-Z, stees. The stees knees. I don't know what I'm saying. I don't know.
What does it even mean?
What does stees mean?
Stees, with 90s fashion making a major comeback, it's perhaps surprising that 90s slang is also making this comeback. Stees started out in the early 90s, chiefly in hip-hop culture, and later biker and BMX culture, a playful extension of the word style.
James, fellow 90s person, and Melissa too, I suppose. I don't remember ever hearing that word.
Nope.
No.
No. It was nope. Not a culture I was a part of. I'll tell you that
much. Either it was come. It came and went. Or
really
it,
quickly. Yeah.
Or we were not as popular.
I certainly wasn't. Word. I know.
I could have answered.
I definitely
that
wasn't. Yeah, but it's a big country not. Too. So
fair.
Yeah. Maybe
it could have been a more regional thing too. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there's another part that's interesting about these terms or these words and everything is the regionality of them.
Mm-hmm.
And not even just by different parts of the country, but even in the state.
Yep.
And, you know, there are words that you're using in the north part of the state and words you're not.
Right.
I think that one of the more popular ones in a Midwest culture is pop and soda.
Right. The difference between when you use those things. Yes. Yeah. It's very interesting.
Or bubbler and or if, drinking well, fountain. Yeah.
Here's the thing. Okay. The thing. Bubbler is not even the state of Wisconsin, because that's not true. There's many parts of the Wisconsin that does not use the word bubbler. It's a very specific region of Wisconsin that comes from. And maybe it's wider. People know about it now. Maybe it's wider usage because of that. But I remember going to a Wisconsin school and hearing some person from Manitowoc use the word bubbler. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Because everyone in Wisconsin I knew that was on the, you know, towards the Minnesota side, they all said water fountain. So that was very specific.
I'm at Humpke Elementary in beautiful Nacoosa, mm-hmm. and I'm just my first days of school here in this state, and I am so thirsty, and I'm being told to go to a bubbler. It's right around the corner, and I did not have the confidence to ask the teacher what a bubbler was, so I just went walking and just found it. I just remember finding it.
The thing that dispenses water. How about that?
No idea. No idea. I was so clueless. Want to remind everybody that we got our WFHR newsletter out last Friday for you. If you did not get a chance to sign up for it, be sure to head on over there, sign on up. Some incredible work being done in there by our team, in particular what Melissa added to it this mm-hmm. week. I really love that work, Melissa. And want to remind people along with that we are also taking recipe submissions.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So get on over to WFHR.com, sign up for that newsletter if you haven't done so already. Otherwise, maybe check out some of the shows and different things we have over there and bring us your recipes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We want to include them in our 85th anniversary recipe cookbook.
Yes.
Yeah. We're 35 years since that WFHR has done one. 35 wow. years.
We're very excited about putting this together, but we need you to be a part of it. We need your recipes to be able to do this, mm-hmm. so please send them to us, everybody, and do us a favor and spread the word about this one. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we want everybody in town to be a part of this. We want every central Wisconsinite to be able to mm-hmm. say
doesn't even matter if they're a listener or not. We just want them to join in.
Yeah. Yeah. This is a really fun thing that we're having a great time with, and we encourage you to get us those recipes, everybody. So just like you would your birthday or anniversary or any other way that you need to get it to us, Morse mm-hmm. code, you know, whatever it takes, get us those recipes and we'll make sure to take care of them. And certainly if it is a rare copy or something like that, we will definitely, you know, take a picture or something along those lines to take care of it.
Yeah.
So get them to us and find out more at WFHR.com. We'll be back with more show coming up right here at...
This is locally grown radio, WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.